Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on another big night in Scottish football. It's as you were at the top again as Rangers beat Hearts at Tynecastle. Shortly after, full-time blue on Celtic's win against Hibs. Kilmarnock snatch a dramatic win at Aberdeen to pile more misery on Barry Robson. And there was another late show in Perth as St Johnston beat St Mirren. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you have your usual Thursday night duo, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, it was a good night of action in the Premiership last night. Celtic probably back to what you'd expect performance-wise and results-wise. 4-1 win over Hibs. Rangers, I thought, were impressive last night away at Hearts. It was a tricky fixture, but Philippe Clement's side are managing the game as well. And like you say, for Aberdeen, Barry Robson, what a predicament Aberdeen board are in. He's got a cup final just round the corner, but his team sit second bottom of the league, just 3 points ahead of Livy. Are they thinking a change along the lines of Jack Ross a couple of years ago where he gets sacked just before the cup final? Who knows? I think he'll survive. But also give credit to St Johnstone as well. Back in the fight, they looked like they were a team doomed for relegation a couple of weeks ago. But Craig Levine got them fighting. Great result against St Mirren last night.
Yeah, it was a good card. Enjoyed it. You know, a lot of good, exciting football. The big two, obviously, for me, comfortable. I know that if you look at the scoreline, Celtic 4 against Hibs at Celtic Park, that was a good night for them. I thought, like Mark, Rangers were impressive at Tynecastle. But there's one or two managers just now sitting, praying for a result at the weekend because they're certainly coming under a lot of pressure.
You're right, sitting a wee bit under the weather,
I've got a wee bit of cold.
The singing voice will not be the same. What a wee sin. 0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. You shouldn't need any encouragement. Big night last night, like the guys have said. Celtic fans, is that more like it? Did that first half in Perth, has that shocked everyone into a bit of life? Or actually, was it some of the changes? What about O, who came into the team, Andy Wata? What did you like? What pleased you last night? Give us all your thoughts on that one. Rangers fans, perhaps maybe need to be more clinical. It wasn't a convincing score line. It might have been had the chances gone in. So give us all your thoughts there. Another injury, perhaps, Tom Lawrence. What's happening there? Get all your thoughts in on the game at Tynecastle. Kelly fans, you must be delirious tonight. What a result that was. And it is getting very interesting at the bottom. I wonder if you Motherwell fans were just as annoyed at last night's results as you were at the previous night, because seeing St Johnstone win and Kilmarnock, and it's not looking good down there for Gordon Dale's hometown team. So whatever it is that's on your mind, 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now if you can. And to whet your appetite, give me your result of the night, Mark Wilson.
I'm going to go up at Pittodrie, Derek McInnes' side. Derek McInnes' return to Pittodrie. Kilmarnock, you have to look at their away form over recent times, been very, very poor. And, you know, an Aberdeen team who are fighting for their life, you would have expected a tough game for them. And it was a tough game, but a goal worthy of winning any game. My result of the night goes to Kelly. It puts him in sixth place, just 3 points off Hearts in third, so they're right in the mix.
Yeah, another team that's climbing the table for me, Gordon. I'm going to go to St Johnstone. I know they were disappointed after the second half and Celtic come out at the weekend and beat them comfortably, but they've got to bounce back. These are sort of games that they've got to win if they want to climb the league. New manager bounce, Craig Levine in there, bit of experience. It was a hard-fought 3 points, but they eventually got there. So for me, St Johnstone.
Okay, goal of the night. I feel like you had a couple of decent options.
I'll go first here.
All right, go for it.
I'm going for youth up at Pittodrie, young David Watson. Not seen a lot of him. But what a strike, what a finish, terrific touch. And it's all about timing. Nearly the last kick of the ball, and gets 3 points, probably a well-deserved 3 points for Kelly at Pittodrie for you know, Derek McInnes. So I'm going for the young lad, Dave Watson.
I thought you'd be all over that. The Prestwick Pirlo, they call
him. I saw that.
And you used to live in Prestwick, didn't you?
Is that what they call him?
Only 18. When did you leave Prestwick? Don't answer that, Mark Wilson.
Moving on swiftly. Was a good goal. I'm going to go for Seema. Rangers against Hearts. When you look at the goal, you take it all the way back from goalkeeper to Golson to Tavernier into Campbell, back to Tavernier. Then Tavernier's pass to split the defence. It's a great run for Seema, but he's still got a good bit to do when he gets there, and he slots it away. I thought it was a fantastic team goal. A terrific assist from James Tavernier.
Okay, what about your howler of the night?
I'll go first this one.
I'll go first, it's Christmas.
Right, okay.
Turn about.
Marley Watkins for Kelly. 3 seconds into the game, free kickoff. Aberdeen take kickoff, they play it back. Marley Watkins goes to press the ball, which is going back to the goalkeeper. But unfortunately, an Aberdeen player is just in his way, so he decides to
forearm smash
into the back of the head. I don't know how he's got away with it. I think he's very fortunate.
So what's the howling part here? You think that is a red, or just even the fact that he took the chance?
The fact he took a chance to think that nobody was going to spot that, because it wasn't as if people's eyes would be elsewhere looking at things and on. Nobody will notice this. It's the first action of the game. The cameras fall on the ball. Everybody's falling. He's just forearm somebody. So very fortunate.
You get away with them in the first 5 seconds. That's the rule. Your howler of the night.
I'm giving it to a Rangers player, Danilo. He must have been on that bus going down there, mate, after a game, thinking, how have I not burst in it twice or three times tonight? He got himself into some brilliant positions. I'll give him credit for that. But when you're away from home, you're at Tynecastle, difficult location, manager of the month, Stephen Naismith, you get the opportunities, a Rangers centre forward, you've got to hit the back of net. I think he'll be disappointed in his performance.
Okay, go on then. Top man, top performer, whoever it may be, doesn't even need to be a player. What are you giving me?
I'll go first in this one. I'm going for O at Celtic. And the reason I'm going for him is that most of his game time's been off the bench. He's had to come on and try and change something. I thought up at McDermott Park weekend, I thought he was excellent when he came on. And with the fact that Kyogo, everybody's talking about, we need backup to Kyogo, we need someone with a quality that's going to come on and be the same. I've said it from day one, I don't know what it is, there's something about this boy I like. I think he's got a lot in his locker. I think he just needs an opportunity. He got that last night, and okay, you can argue his first goal, but he's a striker, it goes off of him, he scores two, confidence the world of good.
Yeah, fair shout. I'm going to go for a manager. I'm going to go for Craig Levein, because I think since he's come in, 7 points he's taken out of a possible 15, and a couple of those games, of course, against Celtic and Hearts in there, but draw against Motherwell that they probably should have won, beat Ross County, and then to beat St Mirren, a team top half of the table, don't think many would have expected that. So I think he deserves the for the turnaround.
Let's get stuck in then. 01419511025. Any of last night's big talking points, this is the place to discuss them. We're here on Twitter as well, so let's dive in with John, who is a Rangers fan. What are you thinking, John?
Hi, good evening, guys. I was just saying to your producer there, my 2 points. I'll quickly start with Sequentis coming on last night. I couldn't believe my eyes. He's done nothing for us since he's come in. We spent a bit of cash on him. Doesn't look interested. And when he's ready to come on, he's got a gold necklace around his neck, trying to get it off, ready to come on the park. I couldn't believe my eyes when I was watching it last night. So that was my first point.
See, we cut to the chase of all the big issues here, jewellery related. Aye. You know, it can be anything in Scottish football, really. He obviously is not expecting to come on that early. I also accept why John would say you should be ready to come on.
The referee knows. When my day, the referee would come in and say, right, get the sovereign rings and all that off, Dad. the chain. I was like Del Boy waiting to go on there. But I always thought the referee come in and basically said, look, make sure you have no jewellery whatsoever. But
well, of course I do. But the fact that I think John's on to a point there, and it drives me nuts. I seen it with Mikey Johnson at the weekend, not with jewellery. He's coming on at half time. Mikey Johnson comes out for half time and he's putting on his shin guards and tying his boots on the touchline. And you're thinking, why would you not be ready? Why would you not do that at half time?
You lot are easily annoyed.
Surely you've got... No, that would drive me nuts.
Would it?
As well. A player not ready to go on. I was one of those subs that sat there with my strip on, my shin guards, ready to go.
The gaffer, pick me. Please put
100%.
Me on.
He's not ready, I am.
Aye, need to go. Aye. So I can need understand John's frustrations.
John, is this linked though? Like, if Cifuentes was brilliant and was lighting up the team, you'd probably be a bit more forgivable. I'm sensing that this is maybe linked to a perceived lack of impact that he's had on the team for you.
I think it just shows a lack of respect for the whole team, for himself. As I said, I was shocked when I was watching it last night. It doesn't look as if he's ready to get on. He's got that necklace around his neck. I just don't get it personally. And it shows on the park because his performances have been poor. And we paid, I think, £1.5 million from him. There was all a big hype when he was coming in. And I've not seen him doing anything, personally. But as Mark was saying there, you know, he's not even ready to go on. I mean, it's gotten touched as well. Guys with kind of solvers. I've seen it when I was playing away back many moons ago at an under-21 level. You know, guys with a hearing in, as Gordon was saying, referees come in, right, get the solver off, get the ring off, get the hearing, get the chain off, and it'll be off. I mean, come on. I don't get it, and that I think shows everything that he's not interested.
I mean, I think in theory I get it. I do wonder if there's a bit of an over analysis here, and I'm very surprised that the number of references to sovereign rings in the first 4 minutes of the show have never been mentioned.
I get mine stole at Starts Park.
Did you? What was on it?
I had a big sovereign ring in my gold chain, and
that's
somebody
right,
stole my suit and everything quite was right. in it. So he's quite right to wear it out there in case somebody nicks it.
I have to admit, I've been fascinated by the social media. It always gives you a good idea, reaction to Cifuentes' performance last night, because I've seen lots of people like John feeling like that was the, you know, adding more criticism, and we all know this was the guy Michael Beale said would take Rangers to the next level and stuff. But I've seen loads of Rangers fans today saying they actually thought he did quite well when he came on last night.
Yeah, I don't think he underperformed. I think you're expecting more. See, when I seen him at first, Gordon, I've got to say, I'm sure the Rangers fans would agree, I thought there was something really there about the lad. I thought, well, he's got to be a very, very good signing. And I thought he had everything in his locker to be a top player, especially in Scotland. But I think that John's right. I think he's sort of he's down the pecking order in the middle of the park. Of course he is. He's got to show a bit more for me. I don't know if it's just a settling in period with him. I know that he's been in for the summer.
It's like last night was one of them though. That's what I'm saying. John's tweeted that he was brilliant when he came on. Wish that John on the line would just watch the game, he says.
I thought he played well. I really did. Right. I thought he came on, he adapted to the pace of the game as well. I thought he played well. I thought Rangers played well, particularly as a team. But he's got to keep performing at that level week in, week out to claim a first team spot.
John, what was your other point?
I was just speaking to a guy in the work this morning about it. I know I'm going to put it out there, and there might be a 70-30 divide, but Morelos is available. I know it's a big comment here I'm going to put out there, but Morelos is available from what I'm reading in the media. Would it be a good shout to get him back, give him half his wages, sign him at the end of the season, see if he can get out? Because Danilo doesn't seem to be putting the ball a lot of chances, no really finishing. And it was just something I wanted to put out there to see if a lot of people would welcome Morelos back.
Well, there you are. There's a big question there to all you Rangers fans that you can answer, but Mark and Gordon will give us their take. Santos have been relegated, of course, first time in their history. The city's on fire.
Do
Rangers need Alfredo Morelos back?
No, of course they don't. No. I mean, why are Rangers fans still living in the past with this guy? You know, he had long enough, kind of without contributing while he was at the club, never mind bringing them back after going through a period with a team that's just been relegated. I get the struggles up front just now, and it's not perfect for Rangers. Daz mentioned Danilo for the howler of the night, but the chances missed. You've got Dessers. So it definitely needs someone else. And I think Clement will know that. I don't believe for 1 minute Philippe Clement is sitting thinking, I know who we'll get. We'll get Morelos back. He's a man to solve the problems. He's got to move forward. Morelos in the past.
The only thing I would say, I agree with you, I don't think they'll go down that road, but the only thing I would say is Morelos is a finisher. He can finish. But you just wonder, is it worth the headache again, you know, going round the same situations with them. More managers come in, try to change them, they got a tune out of them, and then all of a sudden it was a way back to that huffing and puffing, and hope that's not for me. But I've got to say that good finisher, but I don't
think... actually is a good finisher.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, he scored a lot of goals and he was extremely
that's
effective.
A good finisher,
but would you describe him as being like, you know, like clinical, like one of these guys that get one chance, take it? I've never really considered him
I think, in my opinion, he's a very good finisher, yeah. I think he is. Put it this way, if I looked at what Rangers have got at their disposal just now, I'd say he's better than them, the Rangers have got.
All right, well, you can have your say on that. John's just left that out there for the rest of you to nibble on. Thank you to John for kicking us off. James is in Drumchapel. James, you can answer on Alfredo Morelos, or you can take it away with whatever else.
I wouldn't have the wee man back. Thanks very much for the memories, Alfie. You leave on a great note, whatever, but he's a European top goal scorer for the club. Gave us a lot of good memories. Wound up Scottish football, so that for me is another plus for the wee man. Everybody hated the wee man, so that for me, that he's had his time. We can't keep him back. We need to look forward now. We've got a good player in Danilo. I just think it'll just... Got a chance to be man didn't take last night, but it'll come. You can see there's something about Danilo. But Matt, am I hearing right? Rangers fans are on complaining about player with chain on neck. Grrr! What did it say? It took him about 1.3 seconds to take the thing out. Geez, peace! Honest to God! Oh, he had a chain on back. Oh, it's not fair. Geez, honestly.
What happened there? Did James like growl in the midst of that?
Sounds like an angry noise.
I do. I kind of was getting at that, like the sense of perspective, because in theory it's one of those things, and you've added to it banging on like an old man whinging. Yeah. But
I just don't like any player.
Yeah, I know that, but is it actually a big deal? Come on.
Well, it's big enough the deal for John to phone up. So I didn't bring it up.
Deal for James to,
exactly,
to shoot down.
I didn't bring it up. The point is, Cifuentes is in a position just now with performances that fans are willing to point the finger at him for anything.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what I think. It's maybe more that, because it's really... I had no idea this was going to be a debate tonight, and I don't think it has to be for much longer as to how long it took the jewellery removal. James, see, performance-wise... do you think he's getting too much stick? Because I referenced it there. I keep seeing Rangers fans are tweeting me saying he was great last night, and then getting others phoning in and disagreeing. What's happening there?
He's obviously not at the best of starts. He's not the first player, and he certainly won't be the last player that's come in for a foreign country and know how to gun running. But for me, I thought he came off the bench last night and was very, very good. He was tracking back. I think there was one late on. I think it was either the first half or the second half. He tracked back, won the ball for us, broke play up. I thought he was very, very, very good. And I think Rangers fans, just, we need to give some of these players a wee bit of time to settle in. So let's just get off, you know, some of these players back and actually start backing the guys now.
What did you think? What did you think last night overall, James? Because we've dived right into two very specific issues. What did you think, you know, overall?
Overall, I thought Rangers handled played the occasion last night. I thought we looked very, very good. I don't think we were under that much pressure for Hearts. We should have been on easy street if the wee man had bagged two goals. But I thought Rangers played really well last night. I thought we used the ball. The goals, just for me, is up there for goal of the season. But straight for the back, Tavernier, another one that gets a lot of undue criticism for me. I thought the guys, at times, I know his defending isn't really good, but what that guy brings to you overall, his goal contributions and his goal scoring record is phenomenal. Mm. The pass he plays through Seema last night was pinpoint, and Seema sticks it away. So for me, I thought it was a very good, very, very good performance all round.
It was a good move. Mark Wilson gave it a goal of the night. There's a lot of focus on this, both club and country. I've seen a bit on social media. Does Xander Clark make it a bit easy for Seema?
Yeah. I thought Xander Clark looked a bit shaky last night for me. I don't know if it's the fact that Craig Gordon's now back available, and obviously I think that Craig Gordon will eventually go back in as the number one. I think he does. If I'm Seema and I'm looking at where the goalkeeper's position is, you're thinking result, but take nothing away As John quite rightly said there, the ball from Tavernier is brilliant. Hearts try to play a quick press, and Rangers just played out, and it got to Tavernier. He's looked up, and the run's very good. You're talking about centre forwards. I know that. I look at Seema. He's got a good return of goals now. 12 or yeah. I would look at him. Yeah. I think he's a threat.
Thank you, James. Jason got in touch. He'd take Morelos back in a second. When's Danilo going to come good next year? Not good enough. Can't slag Morelos. One of the best in our history. And John says Morelos needed 5 chances a game as well as Danilo. Dunno's brilliant, but he was not an excellent finisher. I tried to tell him that, John, but he doesn't listen. 01419511025. We'll take more of your calls next.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. See, before we go tonight, don't let me forget. I promised you an update from Tuesday night. Mark Wilson,
I'm taking a hard time over this.
Remember the infamous article that he had published from 1993?
How could I forget?
It was Dr. Mark.
There's actually been an update on that. Another one.
How can there be an update on something?
Well, exactly,
like that?
But it's just taking on a slightly new twist.
A good or a bad twist?
A great, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes. Not for when me, you're then. Revealing it.
Yeah, we'll do it at some point in the near future. Let's bring in, we've got Mark, who's a Celtic fan, on the line. Let's do Brian, who is just ahead of him coming through. Brian's a Rangers fan in Bishop Briggs. What's your point tonight, Brian?
Guys, how are you?
Good, you?
Yeah, not bad.
Good,
not
man.
Bad. It's just one statement I'd like to make before I go into my main point, really. I mean, I think the Rangers fans that say Cifuentes played well last night when they were watching the same game, I thought he was very poor. I mean, every time he touched the ball, he seemed to give it away. I know the game was a bit scrappy, to be fair, and a lot of the ball was given away, but I just feel he was a standout. And when he was coming on, I was like, probably a good majority of Rangers fans saying, oh, here we go, because he's just not been up to scratch. But that's not the main reason I was phoning tonight. The main reason I was phoning was I seen something on Facebook regarding Seema, potentially, like when his loan spell was done, like maybe getting him a permanent move. I was just wondering what the panel would think, like if that would be a good thing or not.
I think a lot of Rangers fans are looking at this situation now because the boy's obviously scoring goals. He's back getting in amongst the goals. I think he can play through the middle. I think he'll get more goals there, but I think Brighton spent about 9 million. Was it 9 million or something? You know, so I don't think that, you know, they've got to let him go in the cheap. It's got to be a lot of money. I think financially, I don't know if that deal could get through.
See, at this stage of the conversation, I'm kind of happy to deal with it in a very hypothetical way, Mark. We don't really know the fee. I think Brian just means in terms of, would Rangers want to keep him? Should Rangers want to keep him? I mean, we can iron out the, you know, how possible it is at a later date.
On the evidence of what he's done recently, particularly in the last 6 weeks, yes. Because he was a wee bit of a slow starter. People didn't really understand which position he was going to take up. But you've got to say he's the main goal threat for Rangers now, and that's most of the time playing off a wide area as well. So, I think it's a no-brainer. If Rangers got the option to take him at this minute, I think Philippe Clement would, because he's carrying the can at the top end of the pitch for Rangers. He's got real pace, he's direct. Okay, he's not the finished article in terms of his first touch and things like that, but can certainly finish.
I think he's in the last year of his Brighton deal anyway, and he was it 7 million, something like
seven?
Or will be in the last year of his deal, so who knows. Brian, what about overall? Like, could you see him playing through the middle more? We've had fans on debating whether Alfredo Morelos should be an option. I'm about to play a clip of Philippe Clement wanting Rangers to be more clinical. So is there still work to be done in that sort of striking focal point area?
I'm not really sure. No, I would definitely say that we shouldn't bring Morelos back. I agree with the caller that was on, I can't remember his name, saying thanks for your service, etc, etc. And I agree with Mark as well when he said it is time to move on. I don't think we should look at bringing him back. I heard on one of your shows, I think it was last week, during the week, you said that Seema's numbers compared to like Ryan Kent, I mean, it's unbelievable what he's doing. I mean, he's a very similar player to Kent in regards to positioning, I think, but overall he's finishing and his goals speak for themselves, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I think the guys are...
I think, see that run last night he makes, I don't know if Ryan Kent would have made that run. You know, inside the fullback, you know, coming across, very hard to pick up. I think Kent was more inclined to stay wide at times and try and get the ball at his feet there, or if Barisic had went past him, he would come inside, but he wouldn't have made that diagonal run, and Seema's got that in his game.
Someone's absolutely going to tell us a time when Ryan Kent did make that run, I do know what you mean, sort of overall. this is bound to happen. Thanks to Brian. Let's hear that from Philippe Clement. Wants to be more clinical. He says it's important they don't pass up big chances.
It's a very important win. You play against a team was in a good series of games, winning with a lot of confidence. They spoke also about a lot of confidence before this game to beat us. So you know you come to a tough place with fanatic supporters. We don't get too many tickets here also. So we didn't have so many supporters than usual in an away game, although they made a lot of noise, the ones who were here. No, it's really important thing. And not only that you win, but also that you create so many chances in the game. That's still a working point. We need to be more clinical. We need to kill off the game. If we could have scored the second goal, it would have been a different end of the game, because like this, the other team stays in the game with every long ball or long throw-in. They're looking for this ball that drops into somebody's feet to finish off the action. Yeah, five big chances today. For me, it should be with our qualities, at least three goals. So more things to work on.
And just one other point before we move on and speak to Mark. Another injury. We don't really know the extent of this one yet, but it didn't look particularly clever for Tom Warren, somebody who's been a real victim of bad injuries since he came to the club.
No, I had a great time of it with injuries. We hope it's not going to be a long-term one. We thought that he was over that. He was back in the team. I think he was looking very good. They just need to hope that it's not as bad, and you know, maybe about a week or two and then back in playing again, because it's important for a lad to keep playing football. He's missed a lot of football through injury, and it's not nice to see, but we'll wait and see what the outcome is.
You don't need us to tell you, Mark Wilson, injuries can happen. It does feel like for the Rangers fans and for the manager, they're very much at the how is this still continuing to happen stage, though they might all be, you know, different.
Sometimes there is no explaining that. I know Philippe Clement, when he came in, wanted to get a grasp of this and get, you know, a better record with their injuries and pay more attention. But sometimes it's just unavoidable. For Tom Lawrence, sympathise with him, because he's just got himself back in the side. It's disruptive to the team and himself. But listen, we don't know the extent of the injury. It could be something innocuous. Who knows? And he could be back soon. But that'll be hugely frustrating for him.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He thinks it was a performance that showed hunger that he was looking for last night. He said they needed to put in a performance to show why they're champions.
Just as we've done before, really, it's a busy period. You're trying to keep the energy and attitude in the team. We had to show tonight the why we're a good team, why we have good organisation, why we can play well, and why you're a champion. And I think the players did that. So it was... a really good performance, solid performance against a team, like I said, that are tough. And it's just about keeping that freshness and energy in the team. And obviously the game's coming thick and fast. Now we get a better recovery and get ready for Sunday. But that's always the thing that you have to do at big clubs like this. You're always proving a point. And I think to celebrate at the end of the season, you have to have the hunger all the time. You've got to get a reminder of that at the weekend. But then they showed tonight the hunger that... And they play to the level and play to the tempo, then they can score goals and win games.
Let's bring in Mark in Blackpool. Mark, when you think, you know, the first half in Perth, but then the second half improvement, and then last night, is this all a bit more like it from Celtic?
I thought they were really good, Gordon. I just wanted to ask the guys about Greg Taylor. I'm really concerned about Greg Taylor. I think over the last 8-9 months, this guy's went downhill rapidly. He had a really good season last year. And I can think of one game, one half actually, Livingston this year, where they had a really good game. And then I think Livingston, a man sent off, and things changed. But he's pretty poor defensively. I think going forward, he gets in the way of certainly Palmer at the moment. And I think he gives the ball away in really dangerous areas. And I think Celtic should be looking for a left back. Obviously, Rodgers doesn't quite fancy Burnaby for whatever reason. It may be personal stuff that's going on with, you know, there's stuff going on with Burnaby in the past. But whatever it is, I think Taylor seems to, he's a weak link in that defence. If you look at Johnson's good, Carter Vickers, Scales have been fantastic. And if you look at Europe, Taylor's the one that looks as if he's going to, you know, basically get beaten down the line every single time. And I just want to know what the guys thought of that.
Well, listen, I think you've got a point to a certain extent. I think he has regressed a bit. No doubt about it. He was excellent last season. And at one stage, he was in running, you know, in people's thoughts, maybe for player of the season midway through, where he was scoring goals and evolved and a lot of good stuff. But he hasn't been at his sparkling best. I've got to agree. And I watched him closely on Sunday, and he looks like a player who's a wee bit, you know, lacking in confidence. Now, I don't think the situation helps him where he has no real competition. So I get Mark's point in that. I think Celtic do need another left back in. And if that's to push Greg Taylor to get to the levels he was, then so be it. Or if it's to replace him and Greg Taylor can push the new guy, then so be it. But Burnaby certainly isn't the answer. And I think everybody can see that now. I mean, surely you can't even...
I was just going to say, you tried and tried and tried.
He'll be back.
He'll be back.
To defend Alejandro Burnaby numerous times. Are you just going to admit it?
What?
That it's just not happening and you called it wrong?
No, no. obviously, his alarm clock doesn't work too well and they put Shell under pressure. You can back to Taylor.
Don't change the subject.
No. You watch Burnaby, they'll come flying out the traps soon. That's a Christmas present. And I just think, look, if I was looking at a position with Celtic just now, it probably would be someone to get at left back and maybe put a bit of pressure on Taylor. I still think Taylor, yes, he's not as good as what he was last year. I think, obviously, as well, because Mark and I remember sitting at Fir Park looking, I think he had Hatate out the team. Takes a little bit away from Taylor. I thought they two doubled up brilliantly down the left side at times. He's just gone through a sort of a bad time at the moment in time. But you wouldn't look at him and basically think, yeah, definitely needs left out. Because I think that Brendan Rodgers would look at different options there to go and play somebody at left back if he was that bad.
But you think it's a priority, Mark? Not you, sorry, Mark on the line. Before you dive in.
I do think it's a priority, and I'm not 100% convinced about the... Rodgers said he had a bit of flu last night to play Ralston there. And Ralston looked a lot better than Taylor did.
Well,
that shows a lack of depth, though. If you're playing Anthony Ralston at left back, it really does. So, look, it's a position that does need address, that does need competition, if not a certain start there, because I do think Greg Taylor is a good player. Loved a lot of the stuff he did last season. And it's difficult to keep those levels. That's probably what separates the good players from the exceptional players. Exceptional players continue to churn out year after year performances like that. Greg Taylor's a very good player. He's had a dip in form. And with Daz, I think he will come back. But I think he could do with being pushed by someone there behind him.
To Blackpool, Mark, what pleased you last night? If Greg Taylor didn't, what were the bits that you enjoyed?
Oh no, I agree with Gordon. I think it was great to see O getting a chance. I think it was great. I think he's got something in his locker. I really do. I think it's almost like, I think he could become a Jacky Marcus eventually if he gets a bit of a chance. I really do. I think there's something there. I do think, obviously, you know, there's talk about Miowski and stuff like that, but I think that going forward, that you know, O is certainly somebody who should be considered, and, you know, Kyogo, maybe a little bit off the boil just now, but you never write them off. But good to see O doing that.
Thank you very much to Mark on the line. Before we take any more of your calls, but please do get them in right now. And whilst we line them up, I want to run this past you.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas, with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
Right, just before I tell you about this incredible prize, big mention to Golf It and Huggenfield. They're donating £1 from every friend and family package for Adventure Golf, Park Golf and the Games Room, as well as hosting their driving home for Christmas. See what, see what they've done there? Yeah. Driving, like golf, home. Driving range. Yep. They're also going to be hosting a big feed Christmas market, live music and an appearance from Cash for Kids Courage the Cat this Sunday as well. You've been there, Mark.
It's brilliant, by the way. Aye, great place.
Doing a bit for Cash for Kids. But what a prize we've got for you, right? Because we're going to offer you the chance to win this incredible prize, but and make a difference to local children in Glasgow and the West at the same time. Thanks to Arnold Clark, we've got a BMW 1 Series which could be yours. Now, remember last year, something similar, we got asked to go and film a commercial.
That's right, so we did.
You winked at the camera.
It's just the way I address people.
In like a Ronald Villiers fashion.
And it was the most money they ever raised, I believe, for a car.
Have you ever wondered why we've not been asked back to film this year's
commercial?
You want
me to wink again? Which camera am I winking at? Okay.
Give us a look here. Give us a look here.
Awful, absolutely awful. There's people eating their dinner, for goodness sake.
Win a car, we are no car.
Anyway, it is top drawer, this brand new One Series M Sport bodywork. It's got the digital cockpit, Apple CarPlay and all that stuff on there, so you can listen to the Clyde One Super Scoreboard podcast, of course. Heated sports seats. And the beauty of it is, to win it, you text CAR to 84901. That's C-A-R to 84901. The text costs just like your standard network rate message, and then a voluntary £5 donation to Cash for Kids. So we're talking about battling holiday hunger here, trying to put clothes on people's back. £5 towards that, and then you might win the One Series as well. It is an unbelievable prize. It's a great setup, thanks to Cash for Kids and Arnold Clark. And the lines close, entries close 6 p.m. Saturday the 16th of December. It is over 18s only. And for the full T's and C's, go to Clyde1.com. So that's text CAR to 84901.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diehl are here. Apparently, you two are switching on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Later in the show. I mean,
looks pathetic, doesn't it?
There's not much.
It does not look. There's not many branches on it for those that are listening in radio.
Not much, I must say. And it feels like they've sat the Christmas tree like obscenely close to me. Yeah, I've just noticed in the live stream, you actually still can't even see it. It must be the worst piece of stage managed behaviour if I drag it.
Have
like,
they got one? Drag it in.
Like, why is it, like, no matter how close?
What are they going on with us for?
Yeah, you two need to stop talking. Let me talk, and then the camera should go back on. But even we can't get that right, so never mind. I'll just hold this Christmas tree for the rest of the night. But either way, you two are. Honestly,
yeah, it's there.
You two are turning on the lights like in a big
no expense spared. Look at that,
they're sweets. By the end of the show, candy canes.
Let's bring in Michael, who's in our Drossin. Michael, from a Celtic point of view, what were you happy with last night?
I'm pretty golden, as I said to your producer there. Obviously, always brilliant last night at 42 goals. The first goal, obviously, they gave it to Vickers to start with, but then, obviously, the second, at half-time, they gave it to O at half-time. It was sort of buckled, and I was really impressed last night, to be honest.
Yeah, Gordon, listen, I credit where it's due. You got it spectacularly wrong on Burnaby, whether you want to admit it or not. You have been fighting O's corner for quite some time. Were you delighted to see him get his chance?
Yeah, I'm delighted that he claimed the goal as well, quite rightly so. I just think that it's a hard shift for him because Kyogo's a big favourite. He sets such, you know, a high standards as a centre forward, and coming off the bench and, you know, getting a part of the game, maybe second half, 30 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever it may be, that is very difficult. Especially when you're at a new team, you're in a new country, different style of football. So there was a good opportunity for him last night. I do honestly think that he's got a lot in his locker. I think he'll get better as he goes on. Goals gives him more confidence. And I just like the look of him. I thought at St Johnstone up at Perth in the second half, along with Mikey Johnson, I thought they brought a bit of a spark to Celtic. They ran out comfortable winners. Then last night, all eyes were focused on him because Kyogo's on the bench and he gets his two goals. There's always something about... I don't think defenders would particularly like playing against him. I think he's one of these guys that he doesn't give you a minute's peace. Look, he's still a bit to add to his game. Of course he is, but I certainly see something in him.
I think the appearances, Mark, is one thing, but if you look at, I think, the number of goals per minute, sort of, and I know, like, stats, and you can always twist whatever, or, you know, use whichever you want to suit whatever agenda, but he scores a lot for the time that he's actually on the pitch, or certainly a respectable amount.
Yeah, I'm going to slightly disagree, though. I think it's coming up to about a year since he's been at the club. I would expect him to be pushing Kyogo harder to start more games.
Fair.
And I think
Kyogo's been really good though, hasn't he? And I guess maybe not right now, hence why he's come out, which we'll ask Michael about in a second.
Yeah. But so the next probably four games leading up to the Rangers game might prove me wrong because O might hold down his place. But don't believe for 1 minute come the 30th of December, Brendan Rodgers will look at O and think he's going to start. So I think what I'm getting at is I think Brendan Rodgers will look for someone else in January. Not to get rid of O, but to someone to go in between O and Kyogo. I think there's another step there.
Michael, you think it was right to give Kyogo a bit of a spell out? What's been happening there?
Definitely. As I said to your producer earlier on the phone, Dan, I think the wee man's Lloyd Collins at the moment. You've seen it last night. He had a few chances when he came on and his head kind of went down when he missed a bicycle kick. You could tell he's kind of low in confidence at the moment. I think he's missing a Tati and Maeda and Abada. I think he's missing three or four players around him. And the system doesn't suit him either, to be honest, I don't think.
Abada's a good shout, by the way, because Abada often gets forgotten about because he's been out for so long. But Kyogo, the amount of goals, if you look at it over that period, that Abada gets to the byline, cuts it back, and Kyogo's there to put it away, I think he does miss him. Of course, Maeda works well with him on the other side as well, but I think Abada is crucial for not just for Kyogo, for the whole Celtic team, the amount of assists and goal involvement to get. So Brendan Rodgers can get him back anytime soon, it's a big plus for the side.
Let's get Brendan Rodgers' thoughts on O. Here's what he had to say after the game last night.
Yeah, I think he has done when he's come in. He was a really good reference for the team this evening. He's held up play in the box, now he's there, and obviously his second goal is shows that he can also run in behind, and great strength and really good composure in the game. So yeah, I was really pleased with him.
Can all expect a little run now, Brendan? Can he expect to stay in the team for a wee while?
We'll see. But he's playing well. But it's just whatever the game needs. So that was the idea for him tonight. He came into the game, did really well. So I think especially in this period of the season, you need to have freshness at the top end of the field in particular. So changing two out of the front three was important for us tonight and gave us that freshness.
Thank you to Michael. What about Stevie on the line? What's your point tonight, Stevie?
Well, my point tonight, lads, is about Brendan Rodgers. Let's change it a little bit. Brendan Rodgers has said recently that he needs players.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what you guys here in the panel think. You are dealing with this every other day of the week. But me as a supporter, I'm now thinking Brendan Rodgers goes into this January transfer window and he doesn't get what he wants. Let's be honest. There's three or four players came to Celtic and Brendan Rodgers didn't want them. They came in there. They were coming in before Brendan Rodgers came to Celtic Park. So they've arrived. Brendan Rodgers has said he needs to strengthen the team to progress in Europe. Totally agree with the man. And I'm now thinking Brendan Rodgers, and this is my opinion, does not get what he wants for Peter Lawwell in January, I think Brendan Rodgers will walk away. Wow. I don't know what you think.
Not sure about that, but to go back to Brendan Rodgers strengthening and saying he needs players, there is no reason for Peter Lawwell and the Celtic board now not to give him funds. They've made a big song and dance about how much is in the bank and how well they've done in recent years, that there is no excuse to not give the manager what he wants. Now, I don't think Brendan Rodgers would ever ask for something that's just totally at the picture in relation to Scottish football. So I think he will get funds. It's up to Brendan Rodgers to utilise them wisely. And everybody will understand that the guys coming in will be Brendan Rodgers. I agree with Stevie that the players that were there were probably earmarked to be there when Brendan Rodgers came in. And maybe he had to just give the final yes to. But a lot of the stuff would have been done. This window is down to Rodgers. But I believe he will get the funds to go out and strengthen the squad.
Yeah, I agree with Matt. I think that they'll look at it, they'll sit down. I think, first and foremost, I think they've got to balance it a little bit. They've got a lot of players at Celtic Football Club. They'll need to get one or two off the wages. That's going to be difficult. But I think Brendan Rodgers won't be going anywhere. I think he's here for the long haul, unless another English club comes calling. But I think he will get the funds to go. I don't think it'll be mega money, but I think that the targets that Brendan Rodgers wants to get, I think he will get backed.
He's definitely been quite open and honest about things, though, Stevie, isn't he? You know, kind of outing Lager Bielka and Navrotsky last week. Last night was on TV, he said Mikey Johnson needs to do more. He's been quite kind of forthright in what he wants, isn't he?
Well, this is me being honest with you guys. This is why I'm saying what I'm saying. The guy, the manager, he's been honest and upfront. And listen, lads, I agree with what you're saying. Okay, he'll get the money, right? Okay. Well, the buck stops and I'll phone you back after the transfer window. Because if the Celtic board don't give him the money, then we need to question the Celtic board. But Brendan Rodgers is bang on his money. He's basically coming out and saying, this is what he needs. If you want a super growth in Europe, you need to give me this. If I don't get this, we're not going anywhere in Europe. And that's the main focus for Brendan Rodgers, I think. He wants to take Celtic that step further in Europe. Look at the state of the European League this season. 1 point, absolute shambles. You know what I mean?
Thank you very much to Stevie and Bishop Briggs. It's that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. If you want to take on Mark Wilson or Gordon DL, now is your chance. 01419511025 and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 01419511025. We're looking back on the big talking points from last night, like what jewellery was José Cifuentes wearing when he came on at Tynecastle. On a more serious note, talking about maybe Rangers being more clinical, who was good, who wasn't, more injuries, Tom Lawrence. Celtic fans have been having their say, many impressed with O. Been talking about the reaction to Brendan Rodgers being pretty angry at halftime in Perth, and is that things on the up now? If you want to switch focus, I'd love to hear from you, Kilmarnock fans, how good you're feeling. Where are you, Motherwell fans? You were all lying low last night. I feel like it was maybe too soon. It then got worse last night because some of the teams round about you picked up some very important points. So how are you feeling? Stuart Kettlewell spoke this morning, fairly defiant. So what do you make of what's happening there? 01419511025. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Good game on Beat the Pundit last night. We finally got another win for the listeners.
Been waiting
for a while.
Who let us down?
Charlie Mulgrew lost 5-4.
Oh, no, surprise.
It was 5-4. It was a good game.
Was it?
Yeah, listeners were good. He was up against 3-1 car. And you
see,
don't like that.
I don't like that. Mini buses coming on and all that. I would ban that.
But listen to this, you'll appreciate this, Gordon DL. Charlie had some interesting insight about Mark Wilson when he came into the office. You know, he's got this new coaching job at Thistle under-18s.
Yeah.
And it's kind of going to his head a wee bit. Thinks he's like Pep Guardiola.
Yeah.
So apparently Mark Wilson was playing six a-sides with Charlie Mulgrew yesterday.
How
right? Are we on the same team?
No, I was against
you.
Charlie's
were on the opposite
team.
That's right. But Charlie said Mark was like coaching his team. He had them playing a high press.
That is true.
And apparently Mark was like dictating and was telling all his team at sixes like what to do, and he had them pressing from the front.
Well, that is true.
And the other team were resorting to long balls over the top and at five a-sides.
Did they tell you the full story? We were 6-0 and then within the first 10 minutes, and I thought, nah, this isn't working. High press.
We
ended up winning the game.
You should actually try that with your team. Try and get a result. Did you end up winning?
We won the game.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Well done to Charlie for recognising. I mean, he was with De Zerbi and he's been with Brendan Rodgers. He recognises a good coach. Yeah,
absolutely.
Charlie knows his stuff.
Let's bring in Paul and East Kilbride. How's it going, Paul?
Hi, Gordon. How are we doing? All right?
Yeah, not bad. Have you ever played before?
No, I haven't.
That's the best way. You're a Rangers fan, Paul. What did you make of last night? Happy enough?
Happy enough with the score, but pretty disappointed with the first half performance, giving the ball away quite a lot. But yeah, eventually got the result, which is good, but missed a few chances as well.
Yeah, I don't, is it too early for that to become a theme, Gordon? Two first halves in a row that maybe a bit under par for Rangers?
No, I thought that Rangers' second half particularly played well. I thought that it's always a difficult place to go. Hearts were in good form. The manager picked up Manager of the Month. Shanklin picked up Player of the Month. You're away from
home. That's two of the questions on Beat the Pundit. Let me just go.
Yeah, you better get them out.
I'm only kidding. Anyway, right, let's play. Right, heads it will be Mark Wilson. The what's he called? The Maryhill. No, what is it again?
Marino,
I'll give you the brain.
Whatever you want.
Tames, it will be Gordon.
For Hill Fergie.
DL.
For Hill Fergie.
And it is Tails.
Right. There we go. Come on, Paul. You.
What is it?
The Motherwell. The Motherwell.
He's under the weather, Paul.
What are you, the Motherwell Mowbray or something?
I was 5-0 on Tuesday night.
I'm saying you're under the weather.
You don't
just feel now.
Well, though. You don't.
I'm fine.
You
Paul, if you don't know the answer, pass quickly.
Even more boring than usual, didn't he?
Right, let's give Gordon some greatest hits radio to listen to. That way he can't hear us. 30 seconds. Paul, answer as many as you can, but if you want to pass and move on, that is fine, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Nice one. 30 seconds starting now. Who are Aberdeen's final opponents in the Europa Conference League?
Frankfurt.
What's Ross County's nickname?
Staggies.
Which Scottish player scored a double in the English Premier League last night?
Scott McTominay.
Apart from Glasgow Rangers, who's the only other team in Scotland with Rangers in their name?
Cove Rangers, sorry.
How many non-British managers have Celtic had this century?
Three.
Who's the current manager of Queen's Park?
No, I don't know that.
Okay, Gordon DL, can you hear us? Ready?
Yeah.
Good, 30 seconds on
see,
the clock.
That's better. Kenny sits with his on. I don't like that. It distracts me. Get the cans off and you can nod or distract me
right,
in any way.
You ready? I have no idea what he's on about. 30 seconds,
time,
you ready?
He's nervous.
Time starts now. Who are Aberdeen's final opponents in the Europa Conference League?
Pulk.
What is Ross County's nickname?
Staggies.
Which Scottish player scored a double in the English Premier League last night?
McGinn.
Apart from Glasgow Rangers, who's the only other team in Scotland with Rangers in their name?
Berwick.
How many non-British managers have Celtic had this century?
Five.
Who's the current manager of Queen's Park?
Oh, pass, can't remember his name.
You were there, Mayor. I know you said you weren't feeling well, but
I didn't. I didn't have a good time there. Yeah.
See, when he started with plaque.
That stuff you get in your teeth when you don't brush it.
I can't remember.
Oh, it's a shocker.
What is it? Pulk.
Paul, what are you thinking?
I've surely beat him. He's definitely beat him.
How bad is it when the listener knows? Oh, dear.
I didn't have a good time.
Aberdeen's
there.
Final opponents. It sounds a bit like plaque. It's Eintracht Frankfurt.
Oh, this close. What are you laughing at? Who is this?
1-0 to Paul. Ross County's nickname, the Staggies. You both got it. 2-1, Paul. Are you serious? You don't know the next one? Scott McTominay. A double for Man United last night.
I didn't know seriously? Any English. I was
not, you that not well?
Yeah, I was in my bed last night.
Alright,
I think I might have been on the doubles last night, I think.
Exactly. Right, Paul. 3-1 to Paul. The thing is, Paul doesn't even need it, right? But he kind of got this one. I don't know if it's a steward's inquiry. Cove Rangers, not Berwick. They're not in the...
Oh, it's near
not,
there.
Not in the SPFL anymore. I should have specified SPFL. The question does
say
that.
Yeah, exactly. So you can get
no,
me
I think... I can't remember.
I don't know if it's Berwick in Scotland.
Well, no.
They're playing in the Scottish leagues. Are Paul, they relegated?
Paul said something like Cove Park Rangers or something. Paul, you kind of stumbled over it.
I can't remember the Queen's Park boy. What is it?
I was Kobe. I was going to
shush. You're really giving me a sore head.
Paul, you didn't need it though. That's the thing. You didn't need it. It was only two non-British managers, Dialat and Postecoglou. The current manager of Queen's Park, Robin Veldman. Paul got none of them and still didn't need even. No. I think he might have even got Cove, but it's like 4-5-1 to Paul. He's miles ahead. That was horrendous from you, Paul. Well done. The sign ball is on its way.
Well done, Paul.
Thanks, Gordon. Thank you.
Brilliant. Mm. Well done to Paul. I think it was a 4-1 to Paul.
3-1
in the end. No, well, doesn't.
We're
matter,
not giving him Cove. I had a good victory the night there, 5-0.
That was horrendous.
That's on the past, that. It's about the here now. That was.
What are you talking about?
They were easy as well.
I don't know. That was really bad. Scott McTominay.
I didn't see. You told me that Aston Villa beat Man City. I didn't even know that.
I know. That was the first one. As soon as you got the first one wrong.
What was the first one?
Frankfurt. And you went,
would you go that?
Because I think they're bringing across a travelling support, aren't they? I read that. Mm-hmm. Even though it's done and dusted, but having a good time in Aberdeen.
How much are you looking forward to Scott McTominay being the top scorer at the Euros?
By the way, it's unbelievable.
He's Man United's top scorer. Scotland's top scorer.
To think where he was at Man United, by the way, it's funny, his international form has played him in a Man United team, where it's usually
who
vice versa, your cup
night?
Form.
Chelsea.
Where have you been?
This is not like you. You're usually a student of the game. That telly of yours that's got every game in world football on it.
That's the problem. I was watching. He's got every channel.
I can tell you other things. I can tell you other questions.
Anyway.
That wasn't good.
Will we package the let's give Gordon Dale a hard time section like together so we don't need to spread it out?
What's the news?
About the development.
Stitch up.
On the magazine. So everybody knows the story, but for those who don't, very quickly, we discovered a magazine from 1993 in which Gordon had taken part in one of these like Q&A type things, and it was ludicrous. Like, he's a parody of himself. It was worse than you could expect. Slaughtering everybody, talking about his main hobbies being like drinking and so on. Gave Partick Thistle fans a really, really tough time in it, and on. It was ludicrous. We got the actual magazine, and we had great fun with it, right? And I thought that was the end of it, until Alan sent me a message on Twitter. It's actually gone. It's like gone international, or it's gone national. Sorry, I should say that. It's gone out with the Clyde One Super Scoreboard audience. Becoming famous, right? So, I mean, obviously not as famous as you are on here because we're massive time. But there's a podcast, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, called Quickly Kevin. You heard of this before?
Aye.
You know Josh Widdicombe?
Yeah.
Right. So he's on the podcast, right? So someone sent me this, being like, listen, they're talking about Gordon DL's, except that's not what they call him. They're talking about Gordon DL's Q&A on this podcast. And I thought, firstly, no way. And secondly, I have to listen to this.
Yeah.
I went straight on. I was nearly late for something I had to go to because I sat in the car. And listen to it. So let's give a little flavour of other people talking about you,
which
for some reason is funnier than us talking about you. See, to hear it from like an outside perspective, let's hear a bit from that podcast.
An interview with Raith Rovers' Gordon Dalzell. This one, I would say, is the most astonishing Q&A I've ever seen with a 90s footballer. Which side do you hate playing against? Aberdeen away. By the time I'm back in Motherwell on a Saturday night, I've lost 3 hours drinking time.
I don't think he's taking his career seriously enough, is he?
He's got a beanies bonnet about Partick Thistle. Worst moment of your career? Signing for Thistle. The fans there hated me from day one and still do. I'd love to sign for them again, just to score hundreds of own goals to get them relegated.
They wouldn't let you. After about three, they'd stop. There's no way you'd still be in the team.
Do you think you'd get to three?
After like the 60th one, they're not going, I'm sure, no, he's just unlucky. Stick with it.
How many own goals over the course of a season, if you had to do it covertly, do you think you could score? And sort of, what would be your technique? How would you go about it?
Maybe three when the corner's coming in, it deflects off you as you're trying to defend a corner and in. I think after that point, the management are starting to get a little bit suspect, aren't they?
Are they serious?
I think
you get six. Can you imagine if Gordon Dalzell did
Dalzell! DL!
And was just scoring hundreds of own goals this season? The manager, why are you picking this guy?
Suddenly they're playing, and part of their tactics are you've got to mark him out of the game as well as the other players.
Hundreds of own goals, so that's a minimum of a hat trick of own goals a game, basically. That's what he's hoping to get away with.
See, you're having a
that is magnificent.
So
I can't believe they're even discussing that. How sad.
Do you know
these
them?
People? No,
they're proper famous UK wide,
mm-hmm.
And they're discussing that.
Yeah, someone said,
I was going to score own goals.
I don't think that's I don't think that's the point. I think it's the ridiculousness of the Q&A, which you are now backing up by sort of trying to argue against it.
That's amazing.
It's just it's that stupid that not only are we doing it because like we're your friends, other people in other parts of the country are interested in this Q&A.
See everywhere I'm going now. People are
calling you Dalzell.
they can't pronounce that down there. But people are picking up now everywhere I go about that.
That's great.
The thing is as well, really I wanted
good.
To
That's
like
nonsense.
I wanted to email them back or email them because I thought like they won't know. They'll be blissfully unaware that you're a massive name in the punditry world here in Scottish
You've
football.
You've got to get in touch with them. Got
some sort of crossover.
I might go on their show
and get him on their show.
I think they would revisit that because, by the way, it goes on and on. I think we've maybe got some other.
No, leave it.
It was like 6 minutes long. That segment on you.
It was great.
How sad is that? It's not even true. Oh, I love Partick Thistle. No, for any of the Jags fans out there, I love you.
You've been caught.
I love the Sunflower Boy. The wee, what do you call him? The
Kingsley.
Kingsley. Yeah, wee Kingsley. I like him as well.
That's great. You're international. That's all around the world now.
I'm a Partick supporter because of the man sitting next to me.
That's you.
I don't know why. Like I said, it was like hearing other people realise how ridiculous you are brought me so much joy because like I'm just too familiar with the concept now, you know, that way. Yeah. I'm sort of numb to it.
That was great.
But hearing it from a fresh perspective really, really cheered me up last week, I must admit.
Oh, you should be proud of that.
That was 30 years ago. And I wasn't even me.
That was you.
And then again, it was the Dalzell. Just made it even better.
Oh,
I don't even
see,
know
when
your
I was
name.
Down there and they used to read your name out, it was incredible.
Were
so.
You often known as Dalzell?
Dalzell. And, that showed you.
I mean, they don't even know that. They must not even know that you're a Man City legend as well.
Get in touch with him, Gordon, and get him on.
Let's just play one more bit of it.
No!
Go.
Give us more.
The fans you hate the most. And he gives a top three. Partick Thistle, Partick Thistle's reserves, Partick Thistle's boys club.
It's good business, to be fair.
We need to get him on. What happened at Thistle?
Well, he's a striker and he played 43 games for Partick Thistle, scoring only 6 goals.
All own goals.
Yeah.
Obviously, for that time, Partick Thistle's really stuck with him.
I mean, this guy's just a walking caricature.
The worst case scenario for Gordon Dalzell, going to a Partick Thistle winners club do and winning the raffle for a terracing season ticket.
That's a made up. That's not even in that.
Jesse, if he wins it, he has to go. He feels there's some kind of obligation that you then have to go to every game. Just don't go, mate.
That is absolutely brilliant.
What was his name?
Gordon Dalzell. Faith Rovers legend.
Superb. Gordon Dalzell. Mark Wilson are here to take your calls. 01419511025. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Terrific response, as expected, to to a bit of cross promotion, the podcast world. For you there, Kingy and I, McLean, both absolutely loving it. It's apparently Series 13, Episode 9 of the Quickly Kevin Will He Score podcast. I think I'm probably duty bound to request that you listen to our podcast first and then listen to that. But I don't mind. It's definitely worth it to hear Gordon DL going national.
I'm getting my legal team on this. I'm not happy.
Well, if one man has got a legal team, to be fair, I believe that you've got
I've
one.
I've not made a couple of quid for a couple of years.
Anyway, right, let's give you this question before we speak to more callers.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Oh, I'm worried for you two here. This is tough. It's the crazy pony that sent it in. You know what that means. Can you name the top 10 scorers in the Scottish top flight this century who don't have an international cap? So can you name the top 10 scorers in the Scottish top flight this century who don't have an international cap?
The lad at Motherwell.
I'm going to need more than that.
What do you call him?
Higdon.
Yes, well done, Michael Higdon. How he was never capped for England that year, I'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
Rooney.
Wayne.
Adam.
Yep, well done.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
Mackay. Billy Mackay.
He'll have international caps, will he not? Yeah. He's not on the list anyway. Might not even be in the top top scorers, but there we go.
John Sutton.
Yes, it's a Motherwell connection.
Sutton is in that every single week.
Yeah, John Sutton as well.
Maybe we get 10.
Gary
10
Hooper.
Well done. Maybe I've just been harsh on you two. 4 out of 10 so far. Just leave it there. Don't give me any more just now. If you do, I will ignore them because I'll give you the call when we need some more. Brendan is in Maryhill. How's it going, Brendan?
Good evening, Gordon. Gordon, Mark.
Brendan.
Are you well?
I am very well, thank you.
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
Basically, what it is, my point is on Brendan Rodgers and his transfer budget. I've been hearing over the past couple of days regarding Brendan Rodgers. If he doesn't get the budget in January, will he be staying after January? My point on the matter would be Brendan Rodgers has just signed a 3-year contract with Glasgow Celtic, which is running as a business. Why is Brendan Rodgers not been given for at least year one a yearly transfer budget that he would know about and what he would be allowed to spend?
I mean, he might have, Mark. Yeah. It just depends. I mean, I don't know if they're going to like write it down in stone and stick to it, because obviously performances can go up and down, and you might, you know, I don't know, sell a player, or, you know, loads of things can change, but he probably will.
We know at the start of the year how much money Celtic's got. We hear about profit year on year. If there's so many callers phoning up asking, will it be year after January to get the money to spend? Would you not potentially know that budget at the start of the year?
Well, I think he will. I don't think he's in any hurry to disclose it to anybody out with the guys he's discussing it with at boardroom level. Because, you know, say, for instance, let's pluck a figure. Say the board said to him, you've got $25 million to spend in the summer. Brendan Rodgers comes straight out of that meeting, straight into the press conference and says, I've got £25 million to spend. Every Celtic fan would be chipping in with their tuppence worth of who he should sign for X amount, and if the full £25 million wasn't used up, they'd be pointing the finger for not using it. So it doesn't make any sense to come out and say that.
Will it also be more, you know, like when we talk about a budget, you know, like Celtic's football budget or whatever is going to take into account
wages,
you know, and so on. Yeah. It's not like Brendan Rodgers will know he has exactly, you've got £20 million to spend this window, not a penny more. Like, it's not going to work like that, is it?
Absolutely no. And Brendan Rodgers will have sat down. Look, he's not a rookie manager. He's a very experienced manager. He would have sat down with the board at the beginning of the season or his contract. There have been one or two discussions made about how they're going to go forward in the transfer market. And he's obviously come out and said that he needs to strengthen, and I think he will be backed. I think that Celtic board get a hard time sometimes. I think they do back their managers. I think they do spend money. It's just because you've got quite a lot of it through success.
Yeah, but to be fair, he's the one that keeps mentioning, you know, want quality players. That suggests he wants more.
Yeah, but there's a fine line as well. You're not going to get into the big markets that the English clubs are getting into, because Celtic can't afford that. And also, Brendan Rodgers has also got a duty now to look at his squad and start to balance the books by trimming that as well. That's a big part of it. But I don't think there's a panic here. I think Brendan Rodgers will be in a good place, knowing exactly what he's looking for in the January window. And I think that the Celtic board will definitely back him.
What do you think, Brendan? What's behind your take on this? You think there is money there and it's all calm, or if you got things that you want done in January?
We're talking about a manager who's already been with us, and there was a lot of speculation in the media regarding why he left Celtic the first time. Okay, he went to Leicester City, which is a massive club with a massive budget, but the speculation was there that one of the reasons he left because he wasn't happy about the money he's got to spend. So why is he coming back to the club again if he could potentially be in that situation again? But the only thing he said this time is that he won't believe in he'll state his contract, but we're already talking about, well, 6 months through a three-year contract that he wants the players, he wants to get the players in, which he wants to sign. So he's a manager that's previously already been with us.
But I think the transfer business in the summer was to be expected almost. I don't for one think that Brendan Rodgers was going to come in and you would have seen four of his signings walk through the door a couple of weeks after him. Recruitment is a long process that's done over many months and sometimes even a couple of years when you look at some of the younger prospects that have been watched
throughout the development stages and then purchased, and they sometimes come with the tag project players and develop into first team players. So I think Brendan Rodgers will have an idea now who he wants, but these guys were already in place. And Brendan Rodgers, the top class coach that he was, probably backed himself to make them better. But it's only when you see them in real game situations over a longer period that you maybe think, okay, we do need the quality that I know of. And that's where Ange Postecoglou was so good. He was so good at signposting Celtic to a certain market. I'm sure Brendan Rodgers knows a certain market well as well. And January will be the telling time, because you cannot keep coming out like Brendan Rodgers is and saying that they need quality, but then not add it when you get your first opportunity. So I expect movement and pretty quickly into the window.
What did you make of last night, Brendan?
I didn't actually get a telly because all my kids stole all the tellys.
Nothing
off me,
worse.
So,
nah, I've got sympathy with that.
I was kind of listening to it, but listen, it was a great victory. We got the goals. It was good to see O get the first couple of goals. I wasn't unhappy that Kyogo was dropped. However, he does have to start scoring goals, and he only seems to get his moment of magic. He doesn't seem to like do brilliant within the games. Mm-hmm. We just need to get that consistency up to get the results. And to be honest, I don't like watching our first half because I've got my eyes covered half of the time, and you want to get a couple of goals going into the second half. So
it's such an easy thing to say, Mark. I get it, but we mentioned it last night. It does feel like just the level of dominance at the moment, it can really be impacted by just how early you score. You know, the weekend was a good example, and it gets to half time and it's not going to plan, but you almost get that sense that as soon as Celtic scored last night, because it was so early, you kind of know how it ends after that.
Yeah, listen, nothing's really different from even when I played against Celtic. It was always a game plan when I went there as Dundee United as a kid. If you got to the half hour mark, it was a real bonus, and the fans would get frustrated. Nothing's really shifted. So like the games against St Johnstone that we've seen early in the season, Dundee was similar, I suppose. The first half performances, you know, frustrating. The crowd then get a wee bit antsy, and it feeds on to the players. It's difficult sometimes, but if Celtic score first, they usually go after you, and you see what's to come. You know, they end up running away with it, and that was the result last night.
Maybe one of the other talking points we've not got to yet is the fact that the third midfielder Tombola produced Iwata this time.
Yeah,
we've gone round them all. It looked like it's kind of straight choice between Turnbull and Holm and Bernardo, and now we've added Iwata to the mix as well, and Celtic fans seem to be happy with what they're seeing.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers did say that you know, about a month ago, that it was very important to use the squad, because he's got a big squad there and he's got quality players. It's up to the players to get their opportunity, like O showed last night, and make sure he's putting pressure on the manager to pick him. Midfield is probably where Celtic are their best, the strongest in there. There's good quality in there. You've still got players like Hatate and that to come back into that as well in the mix. So if you get your opportunity, it's important you grasp it with both hands.
What else does it mean, Mark? Is it the shackles off Callum McGregor a little bit then, or?
It seemed that way last night, just playing a wee bit further forward. And I think Brendan Rodgers alluded to that on Sunday when McGregor really took the game by the scruff of the neck in the second half, that he said that was more like the Callum McGregor from his first time around, where he got into those goal-scoring positions. And that reflected in last night's performance, pushed him up a bit, freed him up, and allowed Iwata to sit there. So
I think McGregor's wasted in that position. I really do.
The holding midfield role?
Yeah, I know he can play it, and I know that...
Surely it's just more than he can play it now, though. And I know it's not maybe been vintage for some people this season. Steve Clarke's going to pick him there in the Euros.
Yeah.
He's just been stuck there a couple of times.
It's a personal opinion. In my personal opinion, I think McGregor gives you more in that forward area.
But we've never really seen that much of that, though.
There's a couple of things for me.
He can
open up defences from those situations. You've seen in the weekend, he gets Celtic back into the game with a terrific goal. Look, he's a very talented boy. There's no doubt about that. But if I was looking at McGregor and thinking, where am I going to get the best out of him? Is he the sitting midfield player, or am I going to move him into that forward position that's going to cause more problems for the opposition? Then, as a personal opinion, I would go forward position.
I would disagree. I'd play him sitting midfielder all day long. I love him in there. I think he does a great
one
job
result
for,
in the
fives,
and you think you're a coach.
It's a personal opinion, and that's my personal opinion, like you kept saying there.
Yeah.
Listen, I think he's done such a great job for Celtic, not just domestically in the Champions League in that position, at dictating play, and for Scotland. Problem is, in the Champions League, I think he gets a wee bit exposed defensively, but there's no doubt about it. There's not many better than taking the ball in tight positions and starting play. So for me, defensive midfielder.
Thank you very much to Brendan on the line on 01419511025. Don't forget, you can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB if you want. That would be nice to hear from you there, but it goes without saying we do prefer you on the phones as well. What else have we got? Let's hear from Nick Montgomery. The Hibs boss felt Celtic should not have been awarded a penalty last night. He thinks the crowd shouting for it played a big part.
For me, it's a soft penalty. I know the crowd shout for it, and he goes to the VAR and looks it in slow motion. It takes a little bit of time. I think we probably had five or six of them incidents in my time at the club, and we've never had a penalty. It never goes to VAR. They never go and have a look at it on the screen. So yeah, that was disappointing, because I thought, you know, if we could have got a goal back, then we would have given ourselves a chance. But 3-0 away at Celtic, two soft goals and a penalty. The player that actually went down, he didn't even think it was a penalty. He didn't think he got touched. You know, he said that to the boys after him. You know, he's not going to get the ball. It hasn't affected where the ball's going to go. He's already falling down, and Louis Stevens comes down the side of him, not through the back of him. So if he'd gone through the back of him, it's no problem, give a penalty. But yeah, you know, when you're talking about a crowd like this and big places, when they all shout, yeah, maybe I'll get the Hibs fans to shout every time someone goes down. Maybe we'll get a penalty, because we haven't had one yet. But again, that's not the reason why we lost the game.
Well, firstly, I have to agree, but I don't think it's anything to do with the crowd. John Beaton was called over to VAR to have a look, so it was VAR flagged it. But I think he's got a point. I thought it was incredibly soft. The trailing leg of Lewis Stevenson maybe catches Johnson, but
does it not? Yeah, I think it does catch him a bit, doesn't it? Certainly.
Yeah.
So what we say, not enough for.
I think the big problem is because Alistair Johnston didn't really make a big deal of it.
I like the revelation that Nick Montgomery says Alistair Johnston's told the Hibs boys that he didn't think he got touched.
Yeah, I can see why John Beaton was pulled over to the TV screen.
To be fair, right, in amongst all the criticism, and I know it'll never win everyone over, but if you kind of look at, I'm not surprised that it's hard for John Beaton to see that. There's kind of a lot of bodies in there. In theory, those are the types of ones that you hope VAR will help out with. But yeah, then again, we come back to, was there a clear and obvious error, and so on.
Well, it gave him the opportunity that, you're right, I don't think his positioning was the best, and it gave him an opportunity to go over and just, you know, make that decision. He looked at it a few times. I keep going back to it. I'm with Mark. I don't think it's anything to do with the crowd. I think it was the fact that the Hibs players looked it upon it like it's a very soft penalty. The players don't react. You don't see a lot of people, Celtic players, claiming for it. But that does not mean it's not a penalty kick. And I thought the referee called that one right, I've got to be honest with you.
Do we have any other controversies? I would suggest not, if it's 20-8 and no one's really phoned having a moan. You had Marley Watkins walking a bit of a tightrope.
Not interested in that. I mean, we usually have Aberdeen fans complaining about everything else.
Was that a bit of a quiet night, was it? Was it an uncharacteristically quiet night on that front? Am I missing anything?
I don't think there was much at Tynecastle, was there? Really? No. I think that was... the decision in the Celtic game was lucky that... I suppose it came when it was, so it wasn't really controversial, so to speak. It was, the game was done and dusted. For me, I get why VAR came in, because of the view, but I still don't think it was that big an error that I think John Beaton then has to really focus and really make up his mind. Not for me.
Well, we've not switched the Christmas lights on. We'll do the big Christmas light switch on, big dramatic switch on after the break. I'll give you a couple of minutes so you can psych yourself up. This is your big moment.
This is exciting. Can
you name the top 10 scorers in the Scottish top flight this century who don't have an international cap? John Sutton, Adam Rooney, Michael Higden, Gary Hooper.
I'm going to go for Tavernier.
Good, well done.
Oh, hi.
He's got more.
Van Veen?
No.
Right, so how many did Van Veen score? 30?
No, he didn't score 30.
Well, he was there two seasons though.
Oh, 2 seasons, right, okay.
30. And he was nearly at 30, yeah.
Aye. Right, what about Liam Boyce got a cap?
Yeah, he's not on the list yet.
Mm. Jordan White? Definitely no.
Nah.
Okay.
Come on. Struggling a bit here.
Right, so
you're going to go for a boy bear at his mother will next.
Remember, a good tactic can be like big footballing nations. So like, why have they not been capped? Because
for England and teams like that. Oh. Brazilian, Argentina.
No, it's not many Brazilians.
Chris Sutton get a cap?
Yeah.
Did he? Right.
Also might not even be on this list, I'm not sure. Like if he
Spain, Novo.
Yes. Nacho Novo. Okay.
That's some shit.
Says that so nonchalant.
I'm even surprised myself.
We'll get the rest of the answers. Let me tell you about this again though. Cash for Kids. Mission Christmas. With J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community. I think you'll agree it is worth a reminder because it is such a good opportunity and for such a good cause as well. During this break, you might as well use your time wisely. Take out your phone, text CAR to 84901. C-A-R to 84901. The text costs a standard network rate message plus a voluntary £5 donation to Cash for Kids. So every penny of that, 100% of it, straight back to families and children, people right here on our doorstep that really need your help this Christmas. And if you do that, you're then in the draw, thanks to Arnold Clark, to win a brand new BMW 1 Series. I keep saying it, I can't think of a better way of phrasing it, so forgive me for being repetitive. That's the ultimate win-win. You're doing a really good thing, it's for a good cause, and you might end up with a brand new BMW as well. So seriously, what an opportunity that is. The entries close at 6 p.m. on Saturday the 16th of December and is over 18s only. But for the full T's and C's, you can go to Clyde1.com for a final reminder tonight. Please don't forget the important information. Text CAR to 84901. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. This only works exclusively on the live stream. This is like the least radio friendly feature of all time. It looks like they've dimmed the lights in here.
Yeah, they have. It's romantic.
For really you nice. To perform the I've, big Christmas
I've got
light
to say, that's the best
on.
I've looked in years.
By the way, isn't it? He looks well. And the black and you look very like slim.
I mean, again, that camera angle is not going to work when you turn on the big Christmas light switch on because you can't see the tree. Who's doing the honours?
I'm doing the countdown.
You do the countdown, right?
You do the switch on. Go for it.
1,999. Right, you ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1.
That is the biggest anticlimax of all time. We can barely even see it.
Wow.
Look at that. 50 pence string of fairy lights round the tree.
Christmassy, does that feel?
That is pathetic.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I'm so glad he went
for 3. I'm so proud.
I thought he was going to go from 10.
That's the only Christmas lights I've ever been asked to switch on, unlike this guy here.
I thought you would have switched on Cumbernauld or something in the past.
I'm surprised that George Square hasn't asked me.
I've done many.
Did George and Cassie switch him on?
I think you two are more on an iconic duo than George and Cassie these
days. I totally
agree. Let's get a war going in the Clyde One office.
Kirkcaldy as well.
Kirkcaldy.
Did you actually though? It sounds like another lie.
I think he's told a lie.
Is it a lie?
I don't know.
You told me that before.
I either switched on.
I believed him.
I'd switched on the lights or I started the fireworks. I can't remember. It was one or the two. I know they're different months, but it was one or the other.
There you go.
Quite an honour.
Really festive in here now after that. That was wonderful. Great. Thanks. Right, how are you getting on with this teaser? We're looking for the 10 top scorers in the Scottish top flight this century who do not have an international cap. So guys like John Sutton, Adam Rooney, Nacho Novo, Michael Higden, James Tavernier and Gary Hooper.
Right, you're going to say no to this. Edward or Dembele.
Why are you wasting everybody's
time? Was Dembele not under 21s?
Which one do you want to give me out of those two names?
I want to put both.
Edward is an answer, yes.
Yes, marquee boy.
Good shout.
Right, Dembele's not there now.
Three to go.
These are hard ones. Give us a wee clue, teams.
No. Two Scotsmen, though.
Two Scotsmen?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not been capped.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
It's harder. Dargo on there?
No.
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 I see where you're coming with that one.
No. No. Okay, right, I'll let you get back to it if you've.
Yeah. Looks like you've got a Snickers or something stuck in your teeth through the celebration. Hey, if you were rifling through during the break. Well, no, you keep.
No, I have got something in you.
putting me off.
How significant a night or two nights do you think it was at the bottom, Gordon? So through your claret and amber lens, an absolute disaster on Tuesday, and then 3-0 defeat in Ross County, bad enough in itself. And then St Johnstone going get a last minute, what was 96th, 97th minute Hell winner kick on the Wednesday. And even Kilmarnock, who were comfortably above Motherwell, but again, you know, would be sort of within remote distance, they go and get a last minute winner. Of course it does leave Aberdeen down there. What do you make of the picture down there at the moment?
I think it's worrying times, especially if you're a Motherwell supporter. 4 points out of the last 36. And even those points, you know, late equalisers, always having to chase a game, they were absolutely dreadful in Dingwall. And I'll take nothing away from Ross County. New manager in there, Derek Adams, got them well organised. But Motherwell were an absolute shambles. We've got a massive game coming up at the weekend. I know I've been saying that for the last three or four games, but Craig Levine will come to Fir Park, full of confidence with St Johnstone's side. They'll be well organised. And if you look at Motherwell's record at home lately, the amount of goals they're shipping is alarming. It is alarming what's happening. Livingston.
It really blows apart that pre-season notion of, you know, just, oh, how are they going to replace Kevin Van Veen's goals? The actual goals for tally is pretty similar to last season, but the goals against.
They're just
how good a defender was Kevin Van Veen from set pieces.
Well, by the way, set pieces has been a real problem, and you look at St Johnstone as well. And their set pieces is going to be one of their strong points. So it is a massive game. Look, I totally get what Daz is saying for Motherwell. It is a bleak picture in recent times. The position they're in the league just now, definitely precarious. But look, if Stuart Keltwell wants to feed in some positive energy into his side, you can always look up. Sitting 14 points, 6 points, and you're in the top six. So it's not as if they're, you know, 10 or 15 points adrift of that. Where do you envisage being at the start?
Let's hear from Stuart Kettlewell, because he spoke this morning. He says there have been no talks with the Motherwell hierarchy about his future. He also says he doesn't let the criticism get to him and would like his players to be the same.
It has no effect on me whatsoever, I have to say. Social media, news reports, all these different things. And again, this is where I'm really consistent. I've never read any of them. I get that people will be completely disgruntled with myself and with the players at this minute in time. But I can assure each and every person that there's nobody puts more pressure on themselves than me. Somebody shouting at me and calling me all sorts and giving me abuse isn't going to motivate me any more than what I already try and do each day in my life. So that doesn't have an impact on me. But I need to urge that to the players as well. Genuinely, I've been asked a couple of times in the last couple of days, how are you? How are you yourself? I'm absolutely fine. I genuinely am. I want to do this job. I want success for this football club. And as I've always said, the one thing that I've probably got more than talent is fight. That's what I've generally had. So again, I'm not a stupid guy. I'm not silly. There's certainly been no conversations surrounding my future at the football club. I'm not silly. I understand if you don't start winning games at any football club, be it Motherwell or anywhere across Scotland and beyond, that you find yourself under pressure.
The no conversations about the future, do you think that would change if defeat to St Johnstone came about at the weekend?
At home, yeah. I certainly think it must be on their minds just now, Gordon. He's right. He's been a manager before. It's not his first job. He knows that it should be a results-driven business. And just now, those results are poor. What's that? 12 games without a win? And you can't just keep losing football games. It's not going to happen. There's two managers now you probably say are under severe pressure for a weekend. One's in Aberdeen and one's in Motherwell. And it's a big weekend coming up for him.
Yeah, listen, you can't deny that. Stuart knows exactly where he's sitting just now. And I get, you know, from his recent press conferences, the poorer results
the more he seems to think he has to save, that makes any sense to justify that. And I totally get that. You feel like you need to probably explain more and more and more why things are going wrong, or your part that you're playing in it. And maybe just less is more on some occasions. But look, he is a fighter. He is a good young manager. I still don't believe that we should just be sacking people at the first sign of danger. So he's still in me a fighting chance, but has to win Saturday.
You need to give me three more of the top 10 scorers in the Scottish top flight this century who are not capped internationally. John Sutton, Adam Rooney, Nacho Novo, Michael Higden, James Tavernier, Odson Edward and Gary Hooper.
Need clues, Gordon, I think.
Stevie May.
No.
Stevie McLean.
Yes. See that? How just the tone of no, yeah, can lead you, no, down the right path.
Yeah.
Okay, what about this guy who played for Hibs, Kilmarnock, and is an excellent example of rhyming slang? Well done.
Good shout.
And the last one, Dundee United and Rangers.
Stephen Thompson did get a cap.
Dundee United and Rangers?
Yep. I thought maybe he would have sneaked a cap Billy at one Dodds, point, but I guess not. He's not Scottish, this one.
Dundee United and Rangers.
Sandaza?
Nope. He is Irish.
Dundee United and Rangers.
Yeah. And Raith Rovers at the end of his career, but I don't think you two will remember that.
Oh, why are we not getting that?
No, I don't know.
That is annoying. Oh no, we're going to be undone here.
Yeah.
Quick.
Need to tell you.
Initials.
JD.
John Daly.
Well done. Thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. We are back tomorrow. Hugh Keevans, always nice to catch up with him at the end of the week. Simon Donnelly alongside him. Make sure you join us, and Callum Gallagher is up next.